Today we want to look at this thought. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is reproach to any people. And we looked around, you realize the United States of America is in big trouble. We've got all kind of internal problems, and our enemies are getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And China, if not already, is well on the way to being stronger and more mighty than the United States of America. While we're fussing and fighting and living like the devil, they're becoming stronger and stronger, because that's exactly what Satan wants. Righteousness exalteth a nation. But when people abandon God, he will abandon them. Do we have Christians here? Do we have anybody here that believes the Bible? Well, then it's time we started reading the Bible and believing the Bible. Proverbs 14:34, it says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is reproach to any people. And Proverbs 16:12, it is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established in righteousness. That's one reason a lot of the Arabs and the Muslims hate us so much, because through our motion pictures and the TV shows and all the things we're churning out in America, we're poisoning their society, and they hate us for it because of all of our filth. He says, it is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. What is righteousness? Were you here last week? Righteousness is doing unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Righteousness is loving your neighbor as yourself. Righteousness is being a good Samaritan. If you do those things, you're automatically keeping all the law, because love harms no one, and sin destroys other people's lives. And so that's why loving your neighbor and being a good Samaritan, that's why it fulfills the whole law. That's why we can call it righteousness, is because love and righteousness will do no harm to people. Amen. And it says, for the throne is established in righteousness, people in leadership who treat people the way they want to be treated. Amen. That's the key. I ask myself that all the time, would I want somebody to treat me the way I'm treating them? And as I said last week, that applies to the marriage. When I'm doing something, I say, what I want her doing this to me. And it helps keep me on track. Helps keep me from getting a whipping. You see, the Holy Spirit the United States has been blessed in the past because many have tried to live by the Lord's commandments. In my day, most live by the Ten Commandments, or at least claimed to and tried to. I was taught the Ten Commandments and the Golden Rule in public school for 12 years. Really? What are they taught now? They're taught that men can have babies. Amen. And you just don't know what your sex is. You just got to kind of decide yourself what you are. I still believe if you take all your clothes off and stand in front of a mirror, you can see what you are. You don't have to guess at it. I know what Jesus said. He said, you've read of how God created the male and female created he them. And he says, for this reason, a man is to leave his family and cleave to his wife, and they twain are to be one. And then it says, be fruitful and multiply in another place. You can't be fruitful and multiply and be two men or two women. What in the name of the Lord has happened to this country? And you see something like this, these wicked, demonized haters will call you bigots and everything else. I love gay people, homosexual people. I got some of them, my best friends. But I'm telling you right now, I've done things that's not right, and it's not incriminating to tell somebody something they're doing is not right. You can still love them. Can you say amen? I've had family members doing all kind of things I don't agree with, but I still love them and care about them. Matter of fact, if you love them, care about them, you want them to know the truth. What is wrong? It's like people have gone crazy. Leviticus 26:14, help me, Lord. And if you do not obey me and do not carry out all these commandments, Verse 17, I will set my face against you so that you will be struck down before your enemies, and those who hate you will rule over you. And that's what I believe. I don't believe America is really under the direct judgment of God yet. I believe it can be and probably will be if we don't make a turn. But what God does, he just begins to lift his protection, and Satan comes in and does his dirty work. And that's why you see all these murders in all these cities. You know, America has turned their back on God, aborted and murdered millions of babies, and now the Lord has lifted his hand, and now this murdering and killing goes far beyond abortion. We're having people slaughtered in our major cities, and even here in Knoxville, and it's really a result of God, I believe, lifting his mighty hand of protection because of our wickedness. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Well, preacher, what do we do? We repent if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. God says, if you disobey my commandments, I'll lift my protection, and your enemies will rule over you. This is happening. Rejecting God's word opens the door to our enemies. Sin is a terrible slave master. Sin will destroy our lives. Romans 6, 23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Well, preacher, I don't believe that. Well, hang around. You'll see it. It's already happening all around us. 1 Kings 18, 17, the Word of God also says, be not deceived, be not deceived, be not deceived. On Judgment Day, you cannot stand there and say, well, I was deceived. It doesn't count. You can't say, it says, do not be deceived. Well, how can I be sure I'm not deceived? The Bible. And a church like this, where the Bible is read and preached every service. Amen. If I get something wrong, one of these scriptures is going to straighten it out. So why in the world are you reading so many scriptures? Well, that way I can't go totally wrong, can I? 1 Kings 18, 17, when Ahab, the wicked king, saw Elijah, he said to him, is that you, you troubler of Israel? And like today, they're blaming the problems on preachers and Christians. Well, you bigots, you know, you're spreading all this hate. No, you're the one spreading the hate, we're spreading love. Amen. Love your neighbor as yourself. We believe in loving each other. You're lying when you say we hate gay people, we hate people that we disagree. You're the one that hates people that you disagree with. Be not deceived. 1 Kings 18, 17, when Ahab saw Elijah, he said to him, is that you, you troubler of Israel? Christians today are accused of being the problem. I'm the problem. Because I still believe the Bible. I believe in treating people the way you want to be treated, not hating them because they disagree with you, and censoring them and taking away their right to free speech because you don't like what they're saying. I believe all that sin and rebellion against God. Elijah was preaching the truth like I am now, so the king hated him. He didn't want the truth. He was a Baal worshiper. He was married to Jezebel. Verse 18 says, Elijah spoke back, I have not made trouble for Israel. Elijah replied, but you and your father's family have. You have abandoned the Lord's commandments and have followed the Baals. You see, America is in trouble because we have abandoned God and his commandments. Teaching the Ten Commandments is irrelevant. When you take a school and murder your classmates, I would say thou shalt not kill is relevant. Amen. How can we make trouble for America by abandoning the Lord's commandments? You see, I have no choice but to preach God's word. Nobody's going to stand on Judgment Day and say, well, if you had preached the truth, I wouldn't be on my way to hell. You're not going to say that to me because I'm preaching the truth. It's my generation that did this. My generation introduced the immorality. Of course, I was in rebellion against them. I didn't believe what they were doing. But my generation introduced the immorality. They called it immorality, just the old morality. And abandoned the word of the Lord. Not only has a secular humanist abandoned God and his word, they are demonizing good people who believe God's word. Amen. Is it possible God is abandoning America because we are abandoning him and his word. 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 1. After Rehoboam's position as king was established, and he had become strong. Listen to this. This is written for our learning. The New Testament says the old was written for our learning. We need to learn something right away. Yay. We have any hope of saving this country. After Rehoboam's position as king was established, and he had become strong, he and all Israel with him abandoned the law of the Lord. Big mistake. Big mistake, America. Verse 2, because they had been unfaithful to the Lord, Shishak, king of Egypt, attacked Jerusalem in the fifth year of King Rehoboam. See, when they rebelled against God, God began to lift his protection and their enemies began to attack them. And you'll find that in your own life too. You start slipping in a little lie and cheating people and doing things you know is wrong and flirting with somebody else's wife. Things are going to start going bad in your life. Just have enough wisdom to recognize it and repent. When they abandoned the Lord, their enemy attacked. This is what happens to us as individuals. A lot of times the problems we're having, we open the door to it. It is important to treat people the way you want to be treated. To love people. And not to be mean to anybody. When we turn our backs on God's truth, we open ourselves up to evil, destructive forces. And you want me to name them? Satan and his demons. Okay. Sin opens the door to the devil and his curses. How do we get in this mess in the first place? Adam and Eve sinned against God and opened the door to the devil's curses, and we've been under a curse ever since. These storms have been passing through. Well, that's an act of God. No, it's the result of the curse. If man hadn't sinned, we wouldn't be under the curse. It's on nature. Verse 15, it wasn't in the Garden of Eden, was it? Well, how did it get here? Sin. Verse 5, then the prophet Shimei came to Rehoboam and to the leaders, and he said to them, this is what preachers are supposed to be doing today, is holding people, our leaders accountable by teaching them the word of God. This is what the Lord says, the prophet said, you have abandoned me, therefore I now abandon you to Shishak. I'm not going to protect you. I'm not sending him. I'm not bringing storms into your life, but they're coming because I'm not going to protect you because I can't protect sin. Can't protect rebellion. What if God should say to us, I now abandon you to China and Russia and Iran and Korea? It looks almost like that's exactly what he's doing. Hey. Feel like it's one reason I need to preach this. Well, Pastor, everybody in the country is not going to hear it. Well, let's just pray that a few will and that we'll all spread it because we need to repent. This nation needs to repent. And we need to clean out these universities that are teaching our kids that there is no God and that man is a big accident. It's just evolution. Man evolved from nothing. And it's not, doesn't make a lick of sense, but yet we allow it to continue to go on and on and on. If he abandoned his chosen people, Israel, he could abandon the United States of America and us. The leaders of Israel and the king humbled themselves and said when they heard that word, they were smart enough to repent. The leaders of Israel and the king humbled themselves and said, the Lord is just. That's right. What the Lord says is right. We've abandoned him and we repent. Now look what happened. This is really what it's all about. When the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, this word of the Lord came to Shimei. Since they have humbled themselves, I will not destroy them, but will soon give them deliverance. Instead of allowing Shishak to destroy them, I'm going to deliver them, my people, from Shishak, my wrath. Will not be poured out on Jerusalem through Shishak. See, this is why the Lord told me to preach this. It is not too late to repent. Since God abandons us, When God abandons us because of our sins, the devil comes in to kill, steal, and destroy. And when we see things going bad, we need to make sure we repent. Destruction is happening like never before. I've been around quite a while, and I've never seen this country in this big a mess. I mean, when I was a kid, just not too long ago, you didn't have to worry about locking your doors. You could go to bed and go to sleep and never even worry about anybody coming in trying to kill you or rape you or anything. You could leave your keys in your car, nobody bother it. And didn't have all these contracts and didn't need all these lawyers. If you asked anybody to sign a contract, they'd get mad. Say, what do you mean? My word's not good enough for you? My word is my bond. If I'm telling you I'm paying you $1,000, I'll pay you $1,000. You don't need no contract. But you better have a contract now. You better have three or four. He said, amen. And everybody signed them half a dozen times. Why? Because America's backslid. We don't believe in doing unto others as you'd have them doing you. We believe in doing them before they do you. Somebody say nothing. Just don't say nothing. What can you say? I repent. But we can repent of our racial hatred and all our other sins. And he will deliver us from Shishak and China and Russia and Iraq and Iran, all of them. Can you say amen? We are not hopeless yet. Let me throw in something here before I forget it. The word says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ Jesus, you are the righteous of God. If you've done something that's wrong, 1 John 1:9 kicks in. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When I preach a message like this, I have to preach it all. Can you say amen? If I'm preaching something today you don't like, just hang around. It'll change because eventually I get around to everything because God leads by preaching. God guides me. And so, but I want to make it very clear, God does not want you leaving here walking under condemnation, condemning yourself for something you did 20 years ago. If you confess it as sin, it says he's faithful and just. How many believe he's faithful and just? Well, how can I know he really forgave me? Because he's faithful and just. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive our sin and to do more than that, cleanse us from all unrighteousness by the blood of the Lamb. We stand before God righteous. That's why we never sin. I want to take care of that before I forget it, because I do not want a message like this to bring condemnation on any of us. We are not condemned, but if there's something in our life, the Holy Spirit will convict us. Condemnation says you're just a dirty old worm. You're not worthy to come before the presence of God. You're not worthy to have your prayers answered. You're not worthy to even be in church. That is always Satan. But if you've done something wrong, you don't have to go to psychiatrists to figure out what it is. You already know what it is. Because the Holy Spirit will convict us. And that means there's something right here that says, that's wrong. You need to make that right. Some people call it a conscience. But some people have the conscience seared with a hot iron and it doesn't work right. So make the Word of God your conscience. Many Americans have been deceived by secular humanists. I have my truth. You have your truth. Jesus Christ is truth. And every word that comes out of his mouth, every word in his book is truth. These people are liars because they serve Satan. And Jesus said Satan is a liar and the father of liars. These people are telling all these lies. Their daddy is Satan. That's what Jesus said. He said, well, you're getting kind of strong. I'm not as strong as Jesus was. He called people hypocrites and whitewashed tombs. And said, you're of your father, the devil. I've never come out here and said, you're of your father, the devil. Jesus did. So I'm mild compared to Jesus. I'm laid back. He said, amen. All things are relative. There's no truth. There's no absolutes. I'm going to tell you something. This building is about 30 feet tall, the parapet wall there. And 30 feet tall, and I guarantee you, if you jump off of it, 10 times, you're going to go down every time. Why? Gravity is absolute. What nitwit came up with that? There's no absolutes. When you get on an airplane, you expect the law of aerodynamics to work every time. It doesn't work every other time. If it worked every other time, nobody would fly. He said, amen. Sure, there's absolutes. And if you hop in bed with some person that has HIV, you're going to get it. It's absolute. Don't you wish everybody's smart as me? I'm not that smart, but I believe the Word of God. It's smart if you believe the Word of God. Do whatever is right for you. Just whatever's right for you. No, you don't do whatever's right for you. You do whatever's right for your neighbor. How in the world did we allow these people to take the Word of God and just turn it around? And it's like we're afraid of them. Afraid to speak up. I'm afraid not to. Well, there's no absolutes, no fear. You don't have to worry. My Bible says if you practice these sins, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. We must live by God's moral code, not by some code some university professor made up. God's Ten Commandments are absolute. It's always wrong to lie, kill, commit adultery. Somebody say that's right. You see, God's moral code says it is sin to have sex outside of marriage. It doesn't mean what these college professors say. God demands that we go by His word and not by the teachings of secular humanists. 1 Corinthians 6:16, I just want to show you a couple little things here that shows you how wrong the secular humanists are and the society is. Do you know, 1 Corinthians 6:16, do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it says the two will become one flesh. In God's eyes, you become one with the person you have sex with. Well, there's nothing wrong with it. Just play around. The Bible says you'll go to hell for committing sex acts outside of marriage. I'm going to read it to you. Next verse, 18. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits is outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. All the venereal diseases and all the crazy things that happen through sexual activity. You see, we go by God's word, not by what feels good at the moment. Sex outside of marriage is a sin against God and one's own body. It's what the Bible says. Well, I just don't know about that. Well, if you live ungodly, you eventually wind up in big trouble. Ephesians 6:6, for this you know that no fornicator, here it is, has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. What does that mean, fornicator? Having sex with people you're not married to, that's what it means. It's what fornication means, any kind of illicit, ungodly sexual activity. And the only kind of sexual activity God approves of is between a married man and woman. And you don't have to like that, but that is exactly what Jesus said. You have read, as I just said, of old, how God created them, male and female, created he them. And for this reason, a man is to leave his parents and cleave to his wife, and the twain are to be one flesh. It's the only sex God approves of. Amen. And sex before marriage can, in many cases, mess up your marriage because of the emotional hurts and scars that are there. Now, here again, no condemnation. No matter what you've done, the Lord can, if you'll come to Him and submit to Him, He not only forgive you, He can heal you and fix you. Can you say amen? That's where a lot of preaching goes wrong. It's just all condemnation, condemnation, condemnation. God didn't send me here to preach condemnation. As a matter of fact, Jesus Christ said, I did not come to condemn the world. Condemnation is always of the devil. But I'm here to preach the truth, and that is if we repent, not only will He forgive us, He'll cleanse us and heal us and restore us to wholeness. That's why I preach wholeness all the time. Wholeness, wholeness, wholeness. But you got to put your faith in Him and believe Him. And let Him do the healing. A lot of times we're trying to fix ourselves and it just doesn't work. You pray through to victory and let the Lord help you. For this you know that no fornicator has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ in God. No one who continues breaking God's laws will inherit the kingdom of God. We don't go around condemning people and beating up people, but somewhere along the line, preachers need to preach the truth and let people know the truth. We must have a healthy fear of God, judgment that will, we have a healthy fear of God, judgment that will help keep us in line. The fear of God, it says, is the beginning of wisdom. Secular humanists say abortion's okay. But what does the Bible say? Do you know what the Bible says? Have you read the Bible? Listen to this. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. I was appointed to be a preacher before I was even conceived. I was God ordained to be a preacher, and I haven't had a lot of choice in it. To do what God has called me to do and ordained me to do. No one has the right to terminate an innocent human being. Well, a woman has a right to her body. Sure does. She has a right not to get pregnant and live a godly life. Can you say amen? Acts 21:22. If men who are fighting, now listen to this. This is the Bible. And I heard somebody, I mean, people just flat lie. They'll do anything to make themselves feel good. This one guy says, well, this passage of scripture was translated by these religious right crazy people, and they mistranslated it. They didn't mistranslate. I went and studied in the Hebrew. Here's what it says, and here's what it means. If men who are fighting hit a pregnant woman and she gives birth prematurely, but there is no serious injury, the offender must be fined whatever the woman's husband demands and the court allows. Verse 23, but if there is serious injury, you are to take life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, foot for foot. In other words, whatever harm is done to the fetus, the baby that's not born yet, that same thing is to be done to the one causing the harm. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, and life for life. If the offender kills the baby, he gets the death penalty. That's what God says. That's what God thinks about it. Abortion is murder. It's taking innocent life. People says, well, the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. It really doesn't say that. The Hebrew says, thou shalt not murder. When the state puts to death a cold-blooded murderer, they are not committing murder. They are giving justice. Can you say amen? Life for life. Anybody murders someone else in God's eyes, they should be put to death by the state. I just read it. It's what he says. Life for life. And it's talking about innocent life, a baby, an unborn baby. And so, killing, it doesn't say thou shalt not kill. There may be a chance, you'd have to kill somebody to protect yourself or your family. That's not murder. Murder is when you kill an innocent person for no reason. You see, this proves that God sees the unborn child as human. Killing the so-called fetus, the baby, is murder. This translation is supported by the Hebrew text. I have studied it. I'm telling you, that's exactly what it says, exactly what it means. But today, we have people who are literally campaigning all this country. Well, if you elect me, I'll see to it that you have the right to kill your unborn baby. Now, that's where I leave it. What people do about it is their business. But you don't have to have a law to do what's right. You don't have to have a law telling you not to murder to know not to murder. You say, amen. And you don't have to have a law saying do not abort your baby to know better. Without laws, we can stop aborting our babies on our own. Can you say amen? It's not about laws, it's about the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Well, what am I supposed to do with this baby? Well, if you'll do what's right, God will help you. If you don't do what's right, your life is going to be totally messed up anyway. I'm not going to ask you how many are glad you came to church, because I don't want to know. Thank you, Jesus. This translation is supported by the Hebrew text, 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Say, do not be deceived. Say it again. One more time. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals. Well, preacher, I've been guilty of all of that. Well, you repent and ask the Lord to forgive you and cleanse you. It's no big deal if you do it God's way. Verse 10, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. I haven't done a lot of those things because I got saved when I was very young. But I was a thief. I was stealing candy bars. Okay. So I did something I had to repent of. For thieves, you know, we want to leave some of this out. No, he says thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, drunkards, the drug users, half drunk all the time or half out of your mind all the time. It says don't do that. It's sin, and you're not going to heaven if you do. Well, preacher, we need to clean it up, make it a little easier. No, we don't. We need to preach it like it is and let Jesus deal with it. Amen. If we confess our sin, he'll forgive us and cleanse us. No perfect people. I don't put on any act of trying to be perfect. I need your prayers like you need mine. But no matter what, I got to preach the truth. Yeah. So a preacher ought to live what he preached. I certainly agree. But the truth is still the truth where he lives it or not. Nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers will inherit. How many swindlers do we have here? You ain't going to heaven if you're a swindler. Well, it's those adulterers, it's those fornicators, it's those gay people. No. God expects us to live godly. Not just keep a few of his commandments. Now, thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. It says plainly, they will not go to heaven. Many Americans approve of all these sins and call people bigots who preach against them. Do not be deceived. Believe the Bible. It takes more love to speak the truth than not. Love demands that we speak the truth. Not to go around harassing people, but when we have the opportunity to speak the truth or speak the truth, preach the truth, we're going to do it. I believe everything I'm preaching, but I don't go to a restaurant and start going from table to table telling everybody they're going to hell. Okay. I preach the truth. If somebody asks me, I'll tell them the truth. We will all stand in judgment before God for everything we have done, evil or good. 1 John 3:13. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We looked at that last week. If we hate someone and do not repent, we will not have eternal life. It's not just adultery. It's not just fornication. It's not one of those no sins. I mean, just hating people can send you to the same hell everybody else goes to. And you can hate people just because they're black, just because they're Hispanic, just because they're Mexican, just because they're white. You can't hate anybody and go to heaven. Now, the title of this message, There Is No Fear of God. There's very little fear of God in America. We need to have a healthy, reverent fear of God, or we're going to wind up in a lake of fire. And there won't be no second chances. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Lord, help me to hurry. Can y'all listen fast? Okay, I'm going to talk fast. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. No fear of God? That's really the first commandment. Love God, and you love God because you fear him. You serve God because you have a healthy love and a healthy fear of God. And God's the one that says this. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. If you fear God, you'll obey it. Verse 14, for God shall bring every work into judgment, and with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Man's duty in this life is to fear God and to do what He says. That's my duty, to fear God and obey Him. Instead of loving God, the world hates Him and will hate us too if we serve Him and keep His commandments. Psalm 111, verse 10, 1 verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wise people fear God and obey Him. Psalm 14, 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. These secular humanists, the Bible calls them fools. And we don't need to be listening to them and imitating them. Proverbs 1, 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. God's word is the beginning of knowledge and truth. These people teach things that are totally crazy, totally contrary to nature, contrary to science. To say a man can be a man with a woman inside, there's no scientific thing to back that up at all. The secular humanist hates us, but we have no fear of them. We speak the truth. Amen. Psalm 34, verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him and delivers them. Verse 9, fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want or lack to those who fear Him. Fear is important. We need to have a healthy, reverent fear of God. It says He'll even meet your needs when you have a healthy, reverent fear of Him and obey Him. There's no like. There is no like to those who fear Him. No matter what our enemies say or do, God will deliver us and meet our every need, so we will have no like if we'll fear Him and obey Him ourselves. We have no control over other people, but we can fear God and speak the truth. Psalm 145, verse 19 says, He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. Do you know how many times statements like that's in the Bible? It's all through the Bible. If you have a healthy, reverent fear of God, God will bless you. He'll fulfill the desires of those who fear Him. He also will hear their cry and save them. Do you have a healthy fear of God? Then that's a promise. You can cry out to God and He'll answer your prayer. If you get nothing else out of this, get that. Psalm 145, verse 19. 45, 19, Psalms. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. He also will hear their cry and save them. We need to have a healthy, reverent fear ourselves of God, whether anybody else does or not. And God will bless us as a whole.